Welcome to those that are joining us for the shiur today. We'll continue from where we left off in the last shiur, which was Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, Halacha Gimel, Paragraph Vav. This is in Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis. In the standard 8-volume sets, it's page 172, the left-hand column, all the way towards the bottom. Rab Nosanzal says, "V'zeh shemosku sham b'gemara elo David kinoir hayatoloi lamala mimitasoi." This is why the Gemara concludes there when it's discussing midnight. And the Gemara is saying that we see that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't seem to be clear as to exactly when midnight is. Because when he told Paro that the Jews were going to leave Egypt at midnight, he used the term kachatzois, at around midnight. And the Gemara has a whole discussion as to whether Moshe Rabbeinu did know, and we see that Dovid HaMelech knew. So the Gemara says there, Elo David kinoir hayatolui lamala mimitosoi. King David had a harp that hung above his bed, v'kivun shehigia chatzois laila, and exactly at midnight, ruach tzfoines menasheves boi. The Gemara tells us that that's when the north wind starts blowing. So his harp was positioned in such a way that when the north wind would blow, it would blow on the strings and start playing them, and the harp would start playing by itself. And this is what gave King David the ability to know exactly when it was midnight. Rab Nosson Zal explains now, The concept of a song, we know that musical notes are something that are measured, those that study music. They are given alphabetic letters, A, B, C, etc., for the musical notes, and then there's A flat, A major, B flat, B major, B minor, etc. And when a person wants to construct a song, in order to construct a song, they're actually selecting the notes that they want to use to form the song, and they're rejecting, they're passing by certain notes that are not included in the song. And we know that if you throw in a note that doesn't belong there, it ruins the song. The song won't have the flow that it's supposed to have. So that when we talk about forming a nigun, a song, for musical notes, this requires selecting the nekudos toivos, the proper notes, from among the wrong notes, from among the notes that are being rejected. V'ze b'chinas hizgalu sahastoro. Dahainu shemegalen hatoiv v'hakdusho. This corresponds to what we discussed earlier, where we spoke about Hizgalu Sahastora, that whenever there is a darkness, there's a light that's found within the darkness. There are good points that are found within that darkness. And the concept of being able to reveal the good from within the bad, that's this concept of Hizgalu Sahastora, it's called. Revealing from among the hiddenness, from among the darkness. V'alkein hem yoitzim mikinor shel David. And this is why these musical notes, which represent also a selection of good from bad, this is why this is specifically relevant to the harp of King David. Shehi b'chinas ha-Torah. Because King David's harp was symbolic of the Torah. Ki hein nimin islei lekinor. Because a harp has basically five strings. Do, keneged, hei chumshei Torah. These five strings correspond to the five basic books of the written Torah. Kama shekosu b'zohar HaKadosh, as is discussed in the Zohar HaKadosh. Ukemuva b'divra Rabbeinu Ner Yorah. Ukama shekosu b'zohar HaKadosh, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, v'toifsei ha-Torah, those who hold on to the Torah, ilein de tafsin b'kinoira. Those are the ones who are holding on to this musical harp. Dahainu shal yedei ha-Torah, shu b'chinas kinor shel David hanal, through the Torah, which is symbolized by the harp of King David, al yedei ze megalin ha-hastora kanal. The Torah gives us the ability to reveal the good and the light from within the darkness, from within the hiddenness. Shezehu bechinas haniguneim hayotzim min hakinor kanal. This is the concept of the songs that come forth from a harp, because as we mentioned earlier, the concept of a song is selection of the good notes and rejecting the bad notes. Notes in a particular song, there's only those notes that belong there, and throwing in any song, any note that doesn't belong there is bad relative to that song. It'll spoil the song. It'll mess it up. And this is why it's specifically this northern wind that blows at midnight that made this harp play. Shal yodo nas nhanigunim kanal, which started these songs playing, kit sofoin hu bechinas hahastoro, sitra dedina, kama shekosuf mit sofoin tiposacharo, because north represents evil. There's a pasuk in the Navi that says, evil comes forth from the north. The north is the left side. When we speak about davening Shmon Esrei, or a Jew facing towards the Beis Hamikdash, towards Eretz Yisrael, we speak about facing eastward. Eastward is called Kedem. Kedem means forward, in front of the person. If a person is standing, positioned in a way that east is in front of them, then north is to the left of them. And we know the left side usually represents judgment, harshness, Midas Hadin, Kavyachol, the kindness of Hashem, the Midas HaChesed is always called the right side, the right hand. The left hand represents judgment, harshness, Ra. So the northern wind represents Midas Hadin, Ra. V'al Shem Zeh Nikret Tzofon, and this is one of the reasons why it's called Tzofon. Tzofon means north in Hebrew. Loshen Hatzpono V'Hastoro. Tzafun also means hidden, something that's hidden in a place, darkness. Hidden means within a darkness, not there's no light on the item. Ube'emes shom daiko malubosh toiv godol kanal. And yet, as we mentioned earlier, in that hiddenness is found a tremendous good. Bechinas morav tuvcho asher tzafanto li'rayecho. As the pasuk says, what is this extraordinary goodness that you, Hashem, have hidden away for those who respect you properly? So we see that in this hiddenness, there's this rav tuv, there's this tremendous goodness. V'zeo bechinas ruach tzfoines, and this is what this northern wind symbolized. Shehu ruach toiva ma'oid. The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, the Gemara discusses the different winds and which ones have positive effects on the crops and on other things and which don't. The Gemara tells us that the north wind is among the best winds, you know, for agriculture, for things like that. So here we see that even though the direction of north represents something bad, the left side, still, even there, within the left, within the Hastorah, there is a tremendous toiv that's hidden there. Bechinas das vochesed. Kimuva, as is brought. Umenasheves mitzofoin daika. And note, it comes forth from the north, specifically. Hainu bechinas hatoiv hagodol hamalubosh betoich tachles hahastorah. This represents this tremendous goodness that's found within darkness, within the hiddenness. V'alkein is gala horuach tzvoinis b'chatzois daiko. And this is why the timing of this is especially at midnight, specifically. Ki azayin is gala ha'hastoro. Because as we mentioned earlier, we know that from the time that night begins, from the time of the setting of the sun, it gets darker and darker until we get to midnight. At that moment of midnight, of chatzois, that's when the darkness starts becoming sweetened. That's when we've crossed that midpoint and we're starting to head towards morning. We're starting to head towards the light. And as we learned earlier, it's at chatzois, at midnight, that's a most opportune time to be able to bring forth the good that's found within the hiddenness. That's this northern wind. This north wind, the Gemara tells us, would blow through the harp of King David. Venizgalan Ali Deze Haniguniman, and it would bring forth a song, Shehem Bechina Sizgalus Hatoiv Mitoich Hastorokanal. And as we mentioned earlier, a song is also an example of finding the good within the hiddenness. It's a separation of good from bad. Choosing which notes to accept and include within the song and which notes to reject. And generally, the purpose of a song is to bring joy to a person, happiness. We know that there are songs that are called blues, you know, that get a person that are the opposite of happiness. But that's not the norm. The norm of the term song, shira, in Hebrew and in Torah throughout the concept, is generally an item of happiness. We know that we don't sing during certain times of mourning. Whereas lahavdil, in the Beis Hamikdash, or on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, or at a wedding, which are times of simcha, the simcha, we show this simcha by singing. So singing song, the parts that are included in the song represent simcha, joy, happiness, and that which is kept out, those notes that are kept aside, they represent the opposite. Again, relative to that song. Because if you throw in extraneous notes into a song, you lose the effectiveness of the song. That song can't give forth the joy. That can't bring happiness. And this is what gave Dovid HaMelech the ability to know exactly when it was midnight, because he knew that the north wind blows exactly at midnight, and he positioned the harp in such a way that it would blow through the strings, it would start playing, and that was his alarm clock. That's what would wake him up. Rav Nosson Zal shows us that this is symbolic. The timing of Chatzos, midnight, is a time of a revelation of good from within darkness. Within night, which is generally assumed to be darkness, Chatzos is a speck of light. You know, that's the time that the darkness is sweetened, in a sense. And so, too, the concept of a song is also an example of this revealing the good from within the Hastara. Kyal yidezeh nizgale hisoyerus v'hachruz shel b'chinas chatzos. Because by a person having the ability to find the good within the darkness, within the hiddenness, that's how we reveal the power of the Chatzos, the awakening, and the announcement of midnight, the call of midnight. Right now, we're about to begin paragraph Zion. V'kimas Chatzos umesugol hamshochas chesed godol bayoim. We know that a Jew who goes to sleep early in the night and wakes up at midnight, gets up for midnight, this avails that person to be able to draw tremendous kindness from Hashem during the day, on that day that follows. Don't forget that according to the Jewish calendar, the day begins from night. Vayihi erev, vayihi voker, yom echod. So the beginning of a new day is when the stars come out, let's say, either the sunset or the stars coming out. That's what represents the beginning of the new day. And the first hours of the day are the nighttime, the dark hours of darkness, which are followed by daylight. And the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal, all these Sifrei Kabbalah teach that a person, a Jew, who is privileged to get up at midnight and to use that time for tefillah, for Torah, that helps to draw kindness from Hashem during the day. Shehu bechinas das godol u'moichin lehispalel b'shleimus, whereby the person is given a much higher level of sechel, of understanding, to be able to daven with tremendous kavona, the shachris, especially the shachris, and the mincha that's going to follow. Kemuvan b'sforim, as is brought in sforim. Ki b'chatzois u'bechinas hizgalus ha'astoro, v'nimshach das, because we said midnight is a time when within the darkness there's revealed a speck of light. Vazai hu hisoyerus hatshuva, hisoyerus godol moed. And that's a time when a person can feel a tremendous inspiration for tshuva. Aval ikar hisgalus hadas betachlis shaydeze hatshuva b'shleimus ketikunoi hu boir hayoim. However, that's when it gets started. That's when the inspiration begins. When a person can get to the climax of the inspiration for tshuva, That's during the daylight hours that follow. She'oz nimshach oyer godol, because it's during the day that there's a tremendous bright light that shines forth from Hashem. V'nizgale chesed v'das godol ma'oid boyer hayoim kemuva. And there is revealed a tremendous level of kindness and understanding with the light of day. We know, we mentioned in the past, that the three forefathers of the Jews, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, symbolize chesed, gevura, and teferis. Chesed is kindness, gevura is harshness, and teferis is beauty. It's a mix of both. That's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The morning, the early morning hours, when the sun comes up, is related to Avraham Avinu. The Zohar Kodesh quotes the Pasuk, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. It doesn't say that by Yitzchak, it doesn't say it by Yaakov. By Avraham Avinu, the Torah writes that Avraham Avinu woke up in the morning, implying that the midah, the characteristic of Avraham Avinu, which is chesed, kindness, that's what shines forth in the morning. When the sun comes up and it gets light out, so that represents a new gift of kindness that Hashem is putting into the world. Chesed and Das, both of those things. Vazai zeichen l'tikunei atfila. And that's when a person could be zeiche to a real wholesome tfila. Shehi b'chinas tshuva b'shleimus, which means to a full measure of tshuva. B'shleimus u'betikun godol, on the highest level. B'chinas mikvah hanal. This is corresponds to the mikvah that we spoke about earlier, where we spoke about the mikvah of the night of Shavuos. That Shavuos, we know that the Jews first came out of Egypt during Pesach, and that's when they got to a certain level of holiness and purity. Then they had to count 49 days of the Omer, where each one of those days they climbed up a level, another level, another level, step by step, until they got to the top of the ladder, which was on Shavuos. Shavuos is called the 50th level, the highest level of holiness and purity and kindness that the Jews achieve. And we said that just that's the day when Hashem married the Jewish people officially. It's called Biyom Chatunato. The Ksuba was the Torah. The Torah was the written document that bonded Hashem and the Jewish people. And just like a bride before the wedding goes to the mikveh, so too the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal speak about a tremendous privilege. We know that in general, before Shabbos and before Yom Tov, the Shulchan Aruch says, for those that can, it's a tremendous mitzvah, a tremendous privilege to go to the mikveh. That's part of how a person purifies themselves, to be able to feel the spirituality of Shabbos, to be able to feel the holiness of Shabbos. Same thing is true about the holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Generally, we go to the mikveh on the afternoon before the holiday. Shavuos is unique in that besides going to the mikveh on Erev Shavuos, the Zohar HaKadosh and Arizal speak about this custom of going to the mikveh during the night. Just like a woman goes to the mikveh at night to purify herself for her husband, going to the mikveh at night, at midnight, sometime between midnight and early morning hours, to prepare for this wedding ceremony with Hashem that takes place in the early hours of morning on Shavuos morning. So Rav Nosson Zal tells us now that a Jew who gets up at midnight and then and davens and learns at that time and begins their spiritual experience of the day then, and then they follow through by davening shachris with real kavana, that person is accomplishing a similar item to what we spoke about earlier when we spoke about the concept of Rosh Chodesh and a holiday within the month. We said that Rosh Chodesh is the first spiritual inspiration of the month. That's also a type of holiday, Rosh Chodesh. We say Hallel then. We daven Musaf. There's extra items, you know, that are on that day. Then we go through a break. We go through a few days of regular days until we get to the 15th of the month, which is Pesach, or the 15th of the month, which is Sukkot, or the 6th day of the month, which is Shavuos, you know, somewhere in the middle of the month. So there also, there's a light that gets turned on. Then we go through an intermediate period, and then the light gets turned on in its full brightness on the holiday. So to hear, there's a light that gets turned on at Chatzos, at midnight, for a 2-hour period, as we're going to see soon. Then the light dims until we get to the Shachris, Tefillah of Shachris. And then when a Jew puts on a talis and tefillin and davens Shachris with kavona, that's when they're getting the full measure of that light that they initiated, that they started during the midnight. As the Gemara says, kol hanifne, a person who relieves themselves in the morning when they get up, venoitel yodov, and they wash their hands, umeniach tefillin, and they put on tefillin, v'koirei kriyashma umispalel, and they read the Shema, and then they say the Shmon Esrei, ke'ilu, it's as if they served Hashem on the highest level. Then the Gemara says, what do you mean? What? Umosku, and the Gemara concludes over there, ke'ilu toval, it's as if the person dipped in the mikvah. The Gemara says that if a person does all of these things, he washes his hands, he puts on tefillin, reads Kriya Shema, davens Shmon Esrei, it's as if he dipped in the mikvah. Meaning, Hainu, shetikune hatfilo shel oir hayoim, shein bechinas moichin vedas godol ma'oid, hein bebechinas mikvah shudas godol kanal. Rav Nosson says this fits in perfectly with what we're learning here, that just as we said that the mikvah on Shavuos represents the climax of that whole cycle that started from Pesach, you know, with a certain spiritual high then 49 days of moving along slowly, and then on the 50th day receiving the full blast of light, which is climaxed by that mikvah, so too, there's a light that's initiated every single day at midnight. And if a person is awake at that time and is doing some kind of a mitzvah, learning, davening, something like that they're there for the beginning of that light. And then that light is climaxed in the tefillah of Shachris. That's why the Gemara compares it over there, all the tikkunim of Shachris, to the mikvah. V'chol ze na'asa lidei kimas chatzois. And all of this is accomplished by a person waking up at midnight and using that time for kedusha. Shal yidei hadas v'soirus hatshuva shebachatzois. Because a person who is privileged to start their day that way, by that awakening, that spiritual awakening at midnight, that person is zeicha when the daylight hours begin to receive the full measure of sechel and light that helps the person be able to complete the process of tshuva. Bebechinas Rosh Chodesh v'Yontif Kanal, corresponding to what we learned earlier in the previous shir about on a monthly level what gets started on Rosh Chodesh and gets completed during the holiday that's found in that month. Or we said there are some months in the Jewish calendar that don't have a holiday inside of them. We said on those months it gets completed when the person does Kiddush Levana, which is 7 days in the month, at least 7 days in the month. Just as in that cycle, we said it begins with Rosh Chodesh, then in the middle you have weekday, and then followed by a holiday, or by the Kiddush Levana. Ki gam b'chatzois, ikar hizgalus hadas ulefi shoa b'shas chatzois laila. Because when we talk about chatzois, the midnight prayer, the main revelation of das is a temporary one. It's a limited one, which takes place at the moment of midnight. V'nimshach ad beiz shois, and it continues for a 2-hour period, ad soif ashmora harishnia, till the conclusion of the second section of night. The Gemara tells us that there are three, the night is divided into three sections. Each section is 4 hours. So the midnight, at Chatzois, we have 2 hours left to conclude that second section of the night. V'achar kach, and then afterwards, afal pi shekvar nimtak b'chinas halayla v'achoshech, even though the person, by getting up at midnight and by davening or learning at that time, has sweetened the night. Knows they've brought light and holiness and goodness into the darkness. V'gam shehu samoch lor hayoim, and even though we're starting to approach the daylight, v'yesh oz gam kein b'chinas hizgalus hadas, when there's going to be this revelation of light and das, afal pikein still, Einoi doimer lehizgalus hadas shebishas hamshochas b'chinas chatzoi slay lekanalam. Those hours in between midnight and morning are not as powerful spiritually as the 2 hours that constitute the midnight time. Kimuvon b'divrei Rabbeinu Neir Yoreh b'simen kuf mem tes, as Rabbi Nachman discusses in chapter 149 in the Likutei Moran, she'ikar chatzois hu beis shoyes hanal, that the main time that the Torah speaks about, this super, super holy time of day, and a time when the heavens are most open to receive a person's prayer and a person's mitzvahs, the midnight time, that extends for a period of 2 hours. Nimtza, shehisoyrus hatshuva vehizgalus hadas hu b'chatzois. So we see from this that the awakening for tshuva and the beginning of the revelation of the new seichel of the day comes at midnight. V'yachar kach nimshach oyer godol b'yoyser b'chinas das v'chesed godol ma'oid b'oyer hayoyim. And then that's, let's say, 100 watts. What goes on at midnight is 100 watts. Then at shachris, when the person puts on talis and tefillin, at shachris, there's a much more powerful light that's 1,000 watts, a higher level of oyer and a higher level of das, ubein tayim, and in between the two, in between, after the 2 hours of chatzois have concluded, up until the person begins the morning tefillah, he bechinas laila. That's an aspect of darkness. Compared to those two lights, the intermediary period is an aspect of darkness. Kol zeh hu bechinas rosh chodesh v'yom tov ubein tayim imeichol kanal. And this corresponds exactly to what we learned earlier about rosh chodesh, how the month begins with a blast of light. Then you have 15 days later, you have a much, much more powerful light. You know, the light that the spiritual light that comes on a holiday like Pesach or Sukkot is much brighter than Rosh Chodesh. We know that on Rosh Chodesh, you're allowed to work. You can work other things. On Pesach, Sukkot, you don't work. It's a much more spiritual day, a higher level of spirituality. Ubein tayim imei achol, and in between you have weekday. You have weekday period. Those 10-12 days, you know, between Rosh Chodesh and when the holiday begins. Bechinas Pesach v'Shavuos u'be'emtza Sfira. Just as we have in the cycle, that 50-day cycle that begins from Pesach, we said also there also the holiday of Pesach is a time when Hashem revealed Himself with a bright light. Then you have the 49 days in between, which represent weekday, you know, a lower level of light than what was displayed on Pesach. Then we get to the holiday of Shavuos, which is a far, far brighter light, even that we have what we have on Pesach. Paragraph Ches. V'ze b'chinas kriyas ha-toyro b'rosh chodesh. With this, we'll also understand the custom that we have of reading the Torah on Rosh Chodesh. She'oz koirin dalet gavri. On Rosh Chodesh, we invite 4 people to come up to the Torah. Keneged aliyas hamalchus, shehi bechinas dalid, she'oyle mebechinas malchus horisho, shehi bechinas dalid malchus kanal. This represents our elevating the kingdom of Hashem, the kingdom of the Jewish people, the kingdom of holiness, and extracting it, removing it from the kingdom of the goyim, the kingdom of the sitrachra, which is also represented by 4 basic nations. We know that the Jews went into 4 major exiles. Bavel, Babylonia, Parasumodai, Persia, Yavon, the Greeks, and Edom, or Rome, the Golis that we're in now, the 4th and final Golis. These represent the 4 Malchias of Sitrachra, of the Tuma, the 4 kingdoms of the Goyim, who oppressed the Jewish people. And corresponding to them, in other words, the Jews represent also a Dalet of Kiddush, a 4 of holiness, which has to be removed, taken away from the Sitrachra in this sense. And this concept, the fact that we invite 4 people to the Torah on Rosh Chodesh, represents that this is a time of elevating the kingdom of Hashem, the kingdom of the Jewish people. Ki kriyas ha-toyro hi bechinas shekoyren es chaya chayim kanal. ki al yidei ha toira shi shmada kodesh baruch hu koyron oisa kanal. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, as we learned earlier, just like when you want to draw anything from a person, you have to call that person's name. If I want to gain access to anything that you have, the way I do it is by saying, Chaim, could you give me this and this? By mentioning the name of the person, that's like a key that unlocks that person, that opens up, that makes available for everything from that person. So Rabbi Nachman had explained, we quoted this earlier, that Hashem is the source of life. When we want to draw life from Hashem, we have to call Hashem by his name. The name of Hashem, the names, plural, all the names of Hashem are found in the Torah. The Torah is called Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person reads the Torah, they're calling Hashem. That's what they're calling out to Hashem. They're calling Hashem by his names and thereby availing themselves to draw life from Hashem, to draw this chiyus from Hashem. Ubeyoiser mesugula ze kriya satoira, shekoirin batoira ksheira, shenichtevo kedas, bekdusha sefetoira, min breishis adlenika Israel, kemashinim sroel amashmi sinai. And Rav Nosson Zal tells us that even though studying Torah in general accomplishes this, but it's on a much higher level when you read from the Torah, from a kosher Sefer Torah that's written on parchment, you know, that goes from the beginning, from Bereishis to Leini Yisrael, you know, with all the laws of a Sefer Torah. Shehi Iker Bechinas Shmod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the real format of the name of Hashem. V'alkein kriya sefer Torah misugal b'yoyser likrois es chaya chaim kanal. And this is why reading from the Torah is one of the best ways that we're able to draw life from Hashem. V'al shem ze nikra kriya satorah. And Rav Nosson Zal says, note interestingly, we don't call it learning the Torah. The term that's used is likro kriya satorah. Likro means to call someone. If I want to call you, I say, Tikra, you know, please call this and this person. We use the term likro. So, Kriya Satorah is the means by which we're calling Hashem. Kriyas Daiko, Kanal, Inyan Kriyas Shema, just like we learned earlier about the Kriyas Shema. Kriya Shema, we're calling, these are major examples of calling out Hashem to be able to draw life from Hashem. V'ze bechinas kriyas ha-toira shel kol hayomin, shenistakin boem kriya betzibur beis ha-tfila. With this we could understand the significance of the reading of the Torah on all these special days when we read the Torah publicly, you know, on holidays, on Shabbos. Ha-kol kedei likrois ha-chiyus la-hachyois ha-malchus. Each day in which we're reading the Torah publicly, what we're trying to do is draw this life, calling out to Hashem to be able to draw the life that comes from Hashem and to bring life into our kingdom specifically. We had learned earlier that the Gemara tells us that kingdom, the aspect of kingdom, is something that kills. That there's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos makes a statement, Horabonus mekaberes es baleha. Leadership, authority, kingdom, usually means a short life. We find Yosef HaTzadik, the Gemara says, among all his brothers, he died the youngest of them because he was king. He was a leadership is something that buries people. Unfortunately, we see sometimes the guy gets shot while in office or killed, you know, or the aggravation or whatever it is that leads to shortening of life. This is a fact that the Gemara says. So therefore, the king especially has to be looking out to lengthen his life, to add life. And therefore, we had learned earlier, he has an extra obligation. Every Jew has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah for himself. The Torah tells us that the king had to have two Sefer Torah. One that he kept in his palace, you know, his residence, and another one that went with him wherever he traveled, etc. Because he has an extra, because he is kingdom, he's more vulnerable to loss of life or shortening of life than anybody else. Therefore, he has to go out of his way to lengthen his life. And the way that that's done is by kriyas ha-toira, calling out. וכמו שכסבנו לאל מזה בהלכס קריאס התורה, אז רב נוסן זל דיסקסט הר in the chapter about הלכס קריאס התורה. ועל כן, בכל שקורן גימל גברי, now רב נוסן זל explains, now you could understand why during the regular days, regular weekdays, Monday and Thursday, a typical Monday, Thursday, we invite three people to the Torah, כי עוז בכל יש עשייס מלאכה. Because on a regular weekday, it's not a time of extreme holiness or high-level spirituality. It's a work day. We call it a working day. V'azai sholtin halametes malachas, shem zu amasanochas, b'chinas malachas harashah. That's when people are involved in the 39 acts of work, the 39 basic acts of work that are discussed in the Gemara regarding Shabbos. And that's a time when evil is more prevalent. V'achizas malchus ha-reshoah hi mebchinas ha-raglin shel ha-kedusha, sh'nechozen shom b'imois ha-choil, mebchinas ragle ha-yordes mavis. And we know that generally, when we talk about holiness and unholiness, when we talk about tumah, impurity, trying to draw from holiness, it usually draws from the bottom. It usually tries to attack the feet of the kedusha. Sh'zeh b'chinas machne don, שהיא מחנה הדלד של מלכס דקדושה, שהוא בחינס מעסף לכל המחנס. One example that we're given of this is when the Jews traveled in the desert, they traveled in four groups. Each group had three tribes to it. Yehuda was out front with another two tribes. Then you had another three tribes on the right and another three tribes towards the left. And you had the last set of three tribes, which was headed by Dun, were in the back. They traveled all the way in the back, and they were the ones who was brought who were most vulnerable when Amalek attacked, or he attacked from the back. You know, they try to attack the stragglers, the ones who appear to be the weakest ones in a sense. Bechinas madrego ha'achroino shel ha'malchus, those who represent the bottom level, the lowest level of the malchus, bechinas raglin. V'alkein b'choil en koirin rak gimel, and this is why during a regular weekdays we only invite three people to the Torah, ki ein koyach legalois ha'hastora legamri. This implies that out of the number four that represents malchus, during the regular weekdays we don't have the ability to perfect all of it, to work on all of it, to reveal the hastora completely. כי זה ידוע שבמוקים ובזמן יש להם יניקה, שבמוקים ובזמן שיש להם יניקה, צורך דווקא להניח להם לינק שזהו הכנוסם, כשנס להם יניקוסם בצמצם כידוע. רב נוסן says, this is a known rule when it comes to holiness, that in those places or on those occasions where the tuma is able to draw from kedusha, you have to give them a certain minimum that they need to exist, and be careful not to give them more than that. And if you're careful to give them the minimum that they need, that's how you keep them subdued. That's how you keep them in check, in a sense. This is the concept of mayim achroinim that we have at the end of a meal, the concept of leaving over a little bit in your plate. When a person eats, when a Jew eats food, it's brought, he's not supposed to wipe the plate clean, he's supposed to leave over a little bit. That leaving over a little bit is called giving the sitrachra its share, giving the tumah, giving the klipos their portion, and if a person gives them that little bit, then that gives them the minimum that they need, and it keeps them in control, not allowing them to take the whole thing. Sometimes if you don't give lahavdil, you have this in governments or places like that, where you have to keep certain people happy, and you have to give them their little bit. If you give them their little bit, they're okay. And if not, they come and take the whole thing. Exactly. Ki hayirido hi tachlis o'aliyah kanal u'kamuva, because we know sometimes this concept of going down brings about a tremendous high. V'alkein b'choil ein koirin kin gimel kedei likroi sachiyas al malchus b'b'chinas gimel machne shebo. And this is why, during the ordinary weekdays, we only invite three people to the Torah, implying that we have the ability to feed three of the four groupings that make up the Malchus of Holiness. We said that the Jewish community was divided into four sections, each section three tribes. So that during the ordinary weekday, we have the ability to feed three of those sections. More than that, we don't have the ability to draw. We're drawing a certain amount of life, of holiness, of spirituality, so that they should be able to get what they need, you know, on a certain minimal level. Whereas, on Rosh Chodesh, which is the first day of the Hebrew month, the lunar month, which we learned earlier, that's when the new moon is reborn. The moon, which was going dark, which was getting darker, we were seeing less and less and less of it, and suddenly when the new month begins again, it's reborn. We start seeing that light starting to come up again. So Rosh Chodesh is a time of also Hizgalus HaHastoro, that from that which was darkness is coming forth a new light. The Iker Hizgalus HaStoro Hushin Hizgala B'chinas Machne Don Mitoich HaStoro Shehi Machne HaDalet Kama Shekosu Shemamayim Ranal. And Rabbi Nizal explains in chapter 56 in Likut Imran that this halacha is based on that the main Hizgalus of HaStoro is by that Machne Don, by that grouping of Sheva Don, that last group, the stragglers. Alkein Koiren Rosh Chodesh Dalet Gavri. This is why in Rosh Chodesh we invite four people to come to the Torah. She'oz Matcheles Hamalchus Lalois Bebechinas Tchilas Shleimusa. She'azai Hi Bechinas Dalet Kamuv Kanal. That shows that there's a new Tikkun Hamalchus that's taking place on Rosh Chodesh. That's when the Malchus is starting to get a new building up. Now note, it's getting started on Rosh Chodesh. It's going to be completed either on a holiday that takes place during that month, as we mentioned earlier, or when they bless the new moon, which is not on Rosh Chodesh, that's on the seventh day of the month, let's say, you know, or when we start seeing the moon clearly enough to be able to say the Kiddush Levana. Ubiyantif, whereas on the holiday that's in middle of the month, Sheyesh Oz Bitul Malacha, whereby on these holidays we do not work, Bitul halametes malachos, we do away with all 39 acts of work. Alkein oile hamalchus yoiser. Therefore, the malchus, the kingdom of Kedusha, is elevated still higher than on Rosh Chodesh. V'chein b'chol yoim shekodesh yoiser basias malacha. And so too, every day in the Jewish calendar that's considered a holier day in the sense that you're not permitted to do work. Dehainu Yom Kippur, the Shabbos, Oyla Bechinas Hamalchus Yoser VeYoser. The kingdom of Kedusha is elevated to higher and higher levels. The more serious the restriction from work, the more the spiritual kingdom rises to higher and higher levels. V'Alkein Koyren Bo Yoser Gavri. This is why on Yom Kippur we invite six people to the Torah. On Yontif we invite five people to the Torah. On Yom Kippur it's six. On Shabbos it's seven. Because the fact that these are days where work is turned off, work in this context represents the sitrachra, represents mixing with non-Jews. It represents going out into the marketplace, not being in the Beis Medrash and the Shula in places of holiness as a person is on Shabbos or on Yontif, that kind of thing. So therefore, those days where we're not permitted to do any work, these days represent days where we have the opportunity to bring the Malchus to a higher level of Shlemus. Ki hizgalus hadas v'aliyas ha-Malchus hu kishenichna v'nizbate l'asiyas malocha shem alamates malocha zu ha-masanochesh kanal. Because the elevating of the kingdom and the revelation of das, of sechel, is especially prominent on the, when we're able to eliminate the malacha, the 39 acts of work. Bebechinas mikro kodesh kol malachas avoda lo yisasu. As the pasuk says, we announce, we proclaim the holiness by the fact that work is prohibited. Haynu shebechol yom shenichna bo yosef v'nizbat la'alametes malachos, yicholen bo yosef likrois es hakodesh shehu hachochma. This tells us that each and every single day that work is eliminated, is put aside completely, that's a day when we have an opportunity to proclaim the holiness, which is to proclaim, to rise, to be given higher levels of chachma, of das, of aware consciousness of Hashem, that a person can achieve on a Shabbos or on a Yom Kippur, on a holiday, much more so than on a regular working day.